This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross. Mark Mahady and George Allman have the weekend off.
How dare they?
Looks like it's going to be another nice day. God, it was a beautiful day yesterday.
Did you do anything special yesterday? Good morning.
We did, as a matter of fact. Millie and I went over to Del Mar and snuck in for opening day, and it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous in Del Mar yesterday.
What was the temp?
It was a little cooler than Poway, but if you were in the sun, it was warm. But if you were in the shade, it was perfect. Just a gorgeous day. Just beautiful opening day for the 2022 season. And things look like they're pretty much back to normal over there after COVID.
I heard they capped the admission a little bit, like they did last year, because it was so successful because it was uncrowded.
Well, I think if they capped admission, it was just general admission that got capped, because everything else was packed. We got there about 12:30, and it really wasn't very crowded at all at that point. And we just kind of wandered around and checked stuff out. By the time the first race went off at 2 o'clock, it was starting to get full, and we left right around the time the fourth race went off, and it was packed by the time the fourth race went off.
How did you do with your horse selections?
Not so good. Okay. Yeah. It was funny, the night before, on Thursday night, we went to an opening day reception at LaBerge in Del Mar. Mel and I were sitting at a table and we were having a drink and talking. And beautiful, again, just a beautiful night and the sun setting over the water. And these three people come up and sit down and ask if they could share the table with us. Well, yeah, so they introduce themselves, and it's Katie and her husband Steven and their friend Victor. And I'm sitting across from Victor, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, God, that guy looks familiar. So I pull my phone up and Google it, and it was Victor Espinoza, the jockey. So super nice guy. I mean, he was a really, really nice guy. So we're all sitting
there. That was the closest thing to a winner you had.
Well, I asked him, are you running tomorrow? And he said, yeah. He said the two rides I have are not great. He said he showed us the one. He had one in the seventh and one in the, I think it was one in the seventh and one in the tenth. And, or one in the seventh or eighth and one in the tenth. And he said, this one in the seventh or eighth, he said, that's not good. He goes, this one in the tenth. He said, that's a pretty good horse. And, when I got home, I checked my TVG account and I won $23. So I'm guessing he must've placed.
I bet him.
He must've placed. So anyway,
congratulations.
It was a fun. Yeah. You have no idea how much I lost, but
no. And I don't want to, but you saw Mark Mahady there too.
Yeah.
Right?
Mark was there. Mark and Nicole were there. So that was nice to see them. Rich from the fair had given them, his box seats for opening day. So they got to come out for opening day. It was a very nice day. Yeah.
Awesome. Did I create a problem there at your house do I need to work on that for a later date?
For what?
You and Melanie.
What about it?
Into the box.
Oh, no.
No, it's
no,
good?
No.
Okay.
No. No, we could get it. No.
Well, that's
it's
what
not,
I thought.
It's not a, okay, it's not a problem.
Okay. So. Just want to make sure. No. Excellent.
Yeah.
I couldn't see the moon this morning. It was overcast when I went down to
overcast
let the chickens out.
Overcast at my house, too.
But temperate. And we're supposed to have a cooling, decent week. Although they say The temperature is going to be slightly below average, but the humidity is going to be slightly above average, so it's still going to feel muggy and warm. So we shall see.
I sent a text to my son Daniel, who lives in Evanston, Illinois now. I saw a map before we left yesterday of the United States, and apparently that solar blast from the sun was going to bring the northern lights down. The line that they had was below Chicago. So send him a text message.
But we don't know.
You might go take a look if it's and they said it was going to be clear skies, so I don't know if he saw anything or not. Haven't heard back. But yeah, it was supposed to be a pretty severe solar storm that was going on.
Well, I hope he gets to see the northern lights. The southern northern lights.
Northern lights.
Yeah. Do you know what they're called down south?
North is Aurora Borealis, and I can't remember.
Australis.
That ring. Okay, that makes sense.
It does.
Oh, let's see. We have garden glasses today. If I can find the paper.
You told me you had them.
I did have them. Garden classes today, 9 o'clock in San Diego. It's going to be growing mushrooms with Richard, and that seems to be a popular thing again. People are growing a lot of mushrooms. They're relatively easy to grow. You don't even have to do anything. Basically add water and let them go.
I like George's adage about mushrooms.
What was that again?
They're all edible
once. Yeah. You can eat any mushroom one time.
But don't do that don't listen to us and try any mushroom unless you know exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And in Poway at 9:30 this morning, it's going to be companion planning and book signing with Brian Lowell. So that's at 9:30. If you're going to go to the San Diego store, get there early. We open at 8 in San Diego, but get there early to get a good seat. Next Saturday, the 30th, God, we're already through with July. Drought-tolerant landscapes with Olivia, always a good class. And from 9:30 to 10:30, it's going to be cactus and succulent care. Cactus and succulent care and culture with Dean. And that's the Dean that used to work for us?
Yes.
Okay. He always puts on a good class, too.
Gnosis Nursery with a G. And he brings in some neat plants, and he's also bringing in a friend of his who makes custom ceramic or pots, specialty artistic pots that they bring in that show off cactus and succulents. So it's a combo.
Oh, okay.
Can we go back to mushrooms for a minute?
Go right ahead.
Do you like raw mushrooms?
Yeah, I do. It depends on the kind of mushroom, but just like the white mushrooms that you get from the grocery store or Costco. Yeah, I'll eat them.
I don't. That just doesn't work for me. It's
funny. We have
taste like dirt.
We have a couple that we're really really good friends with, and she can't stand mushrooms, and he doesn't like tomatoes. He doesn't mind tomato sauce or stuff like or cooked tomatoes, but just a raw tomato, he doesn't like them. He doesn't like the texture of them.
That's because they have lectins in them, and they're bad for your gut health.
I don't know, but yeah, she refuses to eat mushrooms. I love mushrooms.
The kind of scent of them when they're raw just sends me the wrong
way.
Yeah,
they do have kind of a weird smell to them, but it doesn't bother
cooked
me.
Cooked mushrooms, love them.
What about truffle?
I don't care.
It doesn't do anything for you?
No. Now you can go on to the next set of classes.
Well, before I do, while we're talking about mushrooms, if you're ever up in San Francisco and you go to the Ferry Building down on the Embarcadero, almost every store that's in the Ferry Building has something to do with food. It's food related.
I would like that.
It's really cool. But they have a mushroom store there. And that's all they sell is mushrooms and fungi. But they have, I can't remember which, I think it's the white, they had white truffle. And white truffle is insanely expensive. I mean, it was, the last time we were there, which was probably 10 years ago.
Before inflation,
I think white truffles were somewhere around $300 an ounce, something like that. It was crazy. But then I was watching there's a really good show on CNN that we started watching. We really like it. It's a It's called Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy, and it's outstanding. I was a huge Anthony Bourdain fan, but I think Stanley Tucci's show in a lot of ways is better than Anthony Bourdain's show. But he goes to the different regions of Italy and tries the food and gives you the history and blah blah blah. But they were talking to a truffle forager, I guess you would call him. But they said they have never been able to grow truffles in an organized. They can't grow it as a crop. They have tried and tried and tried, but they're missing something and they cannot get them to grow as a crop, which I thought was very interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
I just flashed back to Arnold Ziffel, the pig from Green Acres.
Yeah.
Don't they use those to search out truffles somewhere?
In Searching for Italy, they were using a dog. They had a dog that would sniff them out. But yeah, I think traditionally it was pigs that they would use to go and sniff them out. Let's see. The San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation today and tomorrow is the Turtle and Tortoise Show in the Casa del Prado in Balboa Park. So if you want to go see some turtles and tortoises, some people just use the term for both.
Just call them turtles.
Just call them turtles.
Yeah. And then you'll run into somebody like me that's like, no, it's really a tortoise.
It's a tortoise. Let's see. And then next weekend, mark your calendars for Balboa Park. It's going to be the San Diego Orchid Society Summer Orchid Show and Sale, which should be a pretty good show if you're going to be in and around Balboa Park. You're going to see a lot of stuff that's in bloom that you wouldn't normally see.
I'm going to give you a rough description of a Mexican species orchid, and you tell me if you remember the name. I have it in my backyard mounted on a slab of cork. White, large flower with very frilly petals at the end. They all break down to, just a tiny little string of white around the
like whiskers around the
end? Yes, yes. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's a Rhyncolalia.
That's close enough. But one of those Mexican species orchids we used to get, and it gets nothing but water once in a while, and it blooms every year.
Yeah, and when they bloom, they're incredibly fragrant.
It's a little high.
It used to be a Brassavola, and then they changed it to Rhyncolalia, and
it's too high up in the tree I said to see, but I meant to smell.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty, very, very pretty plant.
Very pretty flower and requires nothing.
Yeah. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross. Mark Mahady has the day off, and George Allman is enjoying some island time over in the island of Kauai right now. So we're hoping to get a report from him next week when he should be back next week.
Next week. I sent him the phone number in case he'd forgotten. I don't know if we can. Do we extend to Hawaii? Does our 888 number work there?
It's 3 o'clock in the morning there, Dave.
Oh, that's right. It's the other direction, isn't it? That's why he hasn't responded.
I don't expect him to get up and
call. Who does he think he is? He was at the Limahuli Botanic Garden. I just sent you a picture of the picture.
I was going to say Ohio's completely different than Hawaii, that's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, a little different there. We're going the wrong direction.
Yeah, once in a while, I think.
Yeah.
You were listening to Garden and Mushroom Talk here on AM.
Oh, we were talking about, yeah.
I have nothing else to say about
it. Oh, I thought you had something else.
No. I just like saying Garden and Mushroom Talk for whatever reason. You may.
And it was the orchid that you were talking about is Rhynchocalia digbiana.
I should write that. No, I'm not going to write that down. I wouldn't even know how to.
I don't even know which one it
I'm
is.
I'm just going to call it the Mexican species orchid with the whisker-like frilly petals.
Yeah.
It's very fragrant.
It's very fragrant. It's got it's kind of an unusual greenish tint to it as well. It's a beautiful plant. Definitely worth grabbing a hold of if you can find one.
Now, did you say those more fragrant at night?
Yes.
I didn't. Okay.
Yeah, most of the Rhynchocalias, brassivolids are typically night fragrant. And then I know there's one in the back where you've been working in the shade house that's mounted on a piece of cork, and it kind of looks like that ground cover
The pyrosia?
Well, no,
the one on the stick with the.
It's got it almost looks like that ice plant.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Brassivola nodosa. And that has a really interesting, very flower with very narrow petals and very narrow sepals. White blooms fairly regularly. But again, that's another one that's very highly fragrant at night.
Should I try and divide that one? Should I make
just leave it as one for now. We'll let it get a little bigger, and then we can divide it up. But yeah, it's fairly common. It's not something really out of the ordinary. It's just that there's not a lot of growers that grow those particular plants for some reason. I don't know why, because they're like you said, they're easy to grow and they bloom pretty regularly.
Well, I came across a big tub of Drinaria, which is a traditional type of fern. It's a footed fern. Mm-hmm. It has the rhizome that spreads, but it has two different types of fronds on it. It has the long arms that come out with very frilly leaves and leaflets, but then it also has a little base shield that comes up. It's about 2 or 3 inches long, and it makes a beautiful basket. And I did take your advice and get the sawzall.
Chop that
thing
up.
Doing that manually was not fun. And I'm going to try and start a bunch of cuttings of it, because it's a really neat fern. I hadn't seen one. We used to get them occasionally down in Point Loma before we opened up Poway. And so this is a nice plant. It'll probably make 20 or 30 plants out of it.
Yeah, it was a pretty good sized pot. And it was jammed.
Yes. I've had problems getting some of the plastic out of it in some areas because there's so much fern wrapped around it.
One of the problems that we've seen popping up every once in a while this time of the year is the lace bugs on lantanas. And once they get a hold, they can really make a lantana look pretty shabby pretty quickly.
Very quickly. And, you know, I think that's a relatively new pest.
I don't remember it being. The only thing I really remember having issues with lantana was that bacterial spot that gets on them.
During the winter. And once it got warm, you never had it.
Yeah, it wasn't an issue anymore.
And now this looks kind of like that same bacterial spot. It makes those lighter brown spots on them and splotches on them, but it's from the lace bug damaging the backs of the leaves. And I don't recall seeing it prior to, 2 or 3 years ago.
That's probably about right, yeah.
And
now that you mention it.
It's moderately easy to control with any of the contact insecticides, but you have to be careful because so many people are growing their lantanas to attract butterflies and bees and things, and so it changes how you would have to treat them. I guess you'd have to use the hort oil.
Yeah, I would think so. That's probably the safest bet, because the only way the hort oil is going to kill a butterfly or a bee is if you spray it on them. And
they wouldn't be there in the evening.
They wouldn't be there in the evening anyway.
My go-to would be like something like the Bonide 8 with the permethrin in it, but that'll
kill everything.
And it will persist. It'll stay on the plant, so you can't really do it.
Yeah, so you definitely want to watch out for that.
I also had a couple of customers this week that had rose leaves that were skeletonized. I think we're going through the next cycle of rose slug. Oh, yeah. It was just totally destroyed the leaves. All that was left was the veins.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. It's funny. You go out and look in your rose garden, you'll see leaves that have a couple of holes in them, and you come back just a few days later and there's no leaves left. I mean, they once they get going, they are incredibly voracious how fast they can feed. So, but you know, the BioAdvance 2-in-1, the BioAdvance 3-in-1, both of those are very, very effective in controlling rose slug. And if you, my thought on it is that if you see the rose slug starting, probably best to hit it with the ready to spray 3-in-1, to get it under control
immediately,
because it moves so quickly that if you don't get it under control, you're gonna end up with a lot of damage by the time you use one of the other systemics that's absorbed through the root system to get it under control.
It doesn't take those long to be absorbed, but like you said, it's only 2 or 3 days, and they can totally destroy a plant in that period of time.
Yeah, they can wipe them out. You know what? One thing that we had gotten in that I had not seen in a while, and it's a really nice plant. I believe they're pretty drought tolerant too. It'll give you a really nice highlight plant in your landscape is the Euphorbia catenifolios. It's a kind of a small to medium sized tree. I don't know what kind of a burgundy red foliage.
And it holds the burgundy red.
Yeah.
So many other plants with that leaf color, they come out that color, but they ripen or fade to green after they come out, but not Euphorbia catenifolia.
Go ahead.
Well, when I think of that plant, the one place that I remember seeing it on a regular basis in San Diego is in Mission Valley, in front of, is the Hilton still there? Does it have a new name?
I think there's a Hilton in Mission Valley still.
Okay, so in the berm between their parking lot and Camino del Rio South, there were enormous dark green flax, and behind them and in between the front row of flax were those Euphorbia catenifolia, and it was a great contrast, green grass, the green leaves of the flax, and then the Euphorbia catenifolia, and they were outstanding.
I ever saw that.
I noticed it all the time just because you don't see Euphorbia catenifolia.
Mm-mm.
And Euphorbia is a huge family. It includes poinsettias and many of the traditional succulent euphorbias that people think about, pencil cactus, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But this looks more like a traditional shrub.
It looks like it, you wouldn't call it in the euphorbia family if you saw it.
No,
it's not what you would traditionally think they look like.
It has more of a growth habit like the traditional old school poinsettias, a fairly large upright shrub, only this one's much more dense and doesn't require near as much trimming as the old.
And the foliage is much smaller.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful burgundy color.
It's a really nice tree. You know, speaking of burgundy colored plants, one that's kind of, again, that stuff comes and goes, and this one's kind of fallen out of favor are red leaf plums. We don't sell anywhere near the number of red leaf plums that we used to. And I think that's an outstanding medium-sized landscape tree. And
I grew up with one, and it produced those sour little plums,
which
I loved.
Oh, my kids love those.
Me too.
They would climb the tree just to get those.
And it is so fast growing, and it develops into a tree so quickly, it almost makes it easy to overlook the fact that they seem to die pretty
They're not long lived.
They are.
About maybe 12 to 15 years, somewhere around there.
And I think they're susceptible to that. Aren't they susceptible to that same, this is Xylella or whatever the disease is?
The bacterial scorch?
And I don't know what it is, but because they grow and develop so quickly, you can kind of overlook the fact if you have to replace it every 10 or 15 years. It's not the end of the world. It's a small to medium tree. There's dwarf ones. But that does give you the pretty plum flowers in the spring.
Oh, and then, just beautiful spring flowers on them. Incredible
flowers. It used to be so much more popular, many different varieties. And now we get them on occasion.
Yeah, we get a few here and there, but it's not nearly as popular as it used to be. But there was an insect that used to get on them, too. Pear slug, that's right. Similar to rose slug, and it would do very similar damage, where it would just kind of skeletonize the foliage on them. A little bit harder to control when you have a 15-foot tall tree that's infested with it rather than a 3-foot tall rose bush. But
and it's moderately well camouflaged. It looks like a bird dropping on the leaf, kind of a glossy bird dropping. And then it, I guess they drop down into the soil and pupate in the soil.
Is that what is that how that works?
Yeah, okay. So it's they're hard to control. You have to get them while they're on the plant, or I guess you can get beneficial nematodes and get them in the soil if you wanted, if you were
that
having
a problem
with
it. That would probably work as well. Speaking of beneficial insects, it seems the ladybug supply has somewhat evened out a little bit. Hasn't been as big of a problem as it was in the past, but I think that was mostly because wasn't it the fires that was causing
the fires problems? Caused a lot of problems with the where they collect them.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting to go and see how they collect them. Well,
they are supposed to be in such profusion in those areas where they collect them. I remember being up at what's the observatory in Tucson?
Mount Kitt.
Mount Kitt. Jacqueline and I went up there a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great visit from being down at the 100-degree desert floor and then going up where it was chilly up at the top at Kitt Peak. But there were ladybugs coming out in swarms all around the base of the observatory itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were in the weeds that were abutting the dome where it meets the ground. It was probably just hundreds, if not thousands of them, but they weren't covering the entire area, but I could envision what happens when they come out droves.
It must be something to see. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We've got a lot more coming up right after this, so stay tuned.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We've got quite a bit of stuff going on.
It is 3 hours between Pacific Daylight and Hawaiian Standard Time.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So it is 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, 3:30.
I don't think he'll be calling.
I doubt it. You know what? And I'm kind of surprised that we still have them in stock. We've got some 15-gallon Thunbergia grandifloras in, which I think it's an outstanding tropical-looking vine.
Agreed. And you don't see it very often.
We have not had it for a long time, and now we've got some really nice ones in. And it's a beautiful, lush green foliage and a really pretty blue trumpet-like flower on it. If I had a place to put one, I would put one in, I have a place to bring one home and leave it in the side yard until it dies, but yeah, I don't have any place that I could actually put one in the backyard.
That was, you know, I don't even think that was a shot at me, but it was a pretty good shot at me. That's what I would do with
that's
it.
That's what I do. So, and then another thing that we had in stock that we had not had for a while is we had some cherimoyas in stock.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those people that likes cherimoya, which I happen, when they're ripe, they're really good.
They're custard-like flavor, texture.
Custard-like texture and flavor. Yeah,
a Scott Jones sign that said that?
It might have been. I don't remember, but yeah, it's an interesting plant, and they will produce around here without too much trouble, although. To get the best production on them, you need to hand pollinate them. So when the flowers are open, you get it just like a soft red sable brush and go and stick it in the flower and move it around and pick up some pollen and then just do that amongst all the open flowers that you can find. And they should set pretty well.
You know, one of my coworkers asked me this week about a special Mexican apple. And I had no idea what they were talking about. No clue.
And I vaguely remember this conversation.
Yeah, it was a zapote.
That's right.
And I had, that's, I mean, right. I know what a sapote is. And on my way home yesterday in Lakeside in Eucalyptus Hills, right on the side of the road, there's a sapote with big fruit almost hanging over the road.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You couldn't grab it as you were driving by?
No, I'm not a huge sapote fan.
I don't think I've ever had it. It's a neat looking tree. I mean, if you like stuff that looks tropical in your yard, it's a neat looking tree.
I grew up with one. My dad had one planted in the backyard at the house, and I never really cared for it.
I don't think I've ever even tried it. The one that we used to get a lot of calls for was the chocolate sapote, which supposed to taste like chocolate pudding, I guess. I don't know. That's another one I've never.
I think we had some in. I think it is more tropical. I think it needs. I think it's more tender.
Yeah, I think you have to baby it a little bit more than the other ones.
I did hear somebody tell me that they wanted a bacon avocado because it tastes like bacon. But I was trying to say that it's named after the discoverer Jim Bacon.
Yeah,
but I don't. I think it fell on deaf ears.
Yeah, I think they were.
Unless you put bacon bits in it, I think disappointed.
I think they were misled there with that bit of information. We have a lot of. If you got to the fair and saw the primordial exhibit that we put on at the fair this year, we have a lot.
It was the result of the primordial ooze, not it.
A lot of that stuff that was in that display is now available in the Poway store. We have a huge selection of absolutely beautiful ferns, and the woodyettias, the foxtail palms that were at the back of the display are all available. And actually, well, we've been moving through them. It's the first time we've had foxtail palms. Well, first time, I don't ever remember us having foxtail palms that big in the past.
We have not.
But it's the first time we've had any foxtail palms in years, I would say. And for, I would say it was probably, 10 or 15 years ago, they were incredibly popular.
Very, very popular. I don't know what happened to them, why they went by the wayside.
Yeah, I don't either. But the ones that we have now are really nice. You know, the other palm tree that has fallen out of favor, there's a couple that were huge 15, 20 years ago. Ravineas. What's the common name on it?
You keep going for a moment because I have another thing to talk about a couple of different palms that has come up. Well, Majesty
palm. Yeah, and it was an interesting palm tree because it would get really big, but it wouldn't get much height on the trunk. So they would spread out quite a bit. The fronds would get really long, but the trunk would stay really short for a long period of time. They never got a really big trunk on them. That was a really neat one. And then the other one that we used to sell a lot of was triangle palms. And I can't remember the last time I saw a triangle palm in the store.
Don't see them very often.
And that was Neodipsis decarii, and then they changed the – didn't they change
they
the
name? They got rid of Neo.
Neo? Yeah, I guess it's not new anymore.
Yeah, so it's just your good old Dipsis.
It's the old Dipsis.
That's what they call me.
Yeah.
Hey, there's David. The old Dipsis is back.
Yeah.
There was is it Ilion, the street that Madeline is on?
Yeah, with the
so
hill.
So walking the kids to school, I'd go by on Ilion Street and outside the house.
You made them walk to school?
And on occasion, they enjoyed walking to school when they were
young.
That's
a long way. And it's uphill.
From your grandmother's house?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's not from Spring Valley.
Well, no, but it's still a long way.
It's like a 15 or 20 minute walk. You know, we come from tougher stock. It was a long time ago. It wasn't soft like we are now. Right. But there was a Majesty palm outside the fence on Ilion, and I walked past it on a regular basis, and I knew it was getting that pink rot.
Oh, yeah.
So I went around and knocked on the door and told them about it, and they figured I was just some kind of a nut, which, you know, they were probably right. And they just left it and didn't do anything about it and let it die. But that brings me to Canary Island date palms.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a picture of one from a customer yesterday that had the fusarium on it. And it was going to die. And I was talking to Kurt about it because there's nothing you can do about the fusarium. And he said between that and the South American palm weevil, those palms are going to be gone from Southern California probably in our lifetime because it's wiping them out. The beetles, I'm seeing more dead canary on the dates
all over the place. Yeah, they're everywhere. It's incredible how fast that has come through. You know, they had a big problem with fusarium up in Beverly Hills, I want to say about 15 years ago, and the canary eye date palms were dying. And the problem that I remember with fusarium and Canary Island dates is that it would kill the crown of the tree, and once the crown dies, then that part of the tree starts to rot, but they don't shed the foliage. And then if there's a windstorm, it's like the foliage acts like an umbrella, and it pulls the top off of the tree, which comes crashing down, and it weighs between 2,000 and 3,000 pounds. And if you're anywhere near it when it comes down, you're dead. Or if you're
weren't there pictures of cars that were under those that got crushed?
Yeah, they had a big problem with it up there. I haven't heard of the weevil causing that kind of an issue. Because maybe the palm dies and it just doesn't rot as quickly as it does with fusarium. But with the fusarium, it was a big problem.
Well, when you think about the way fungus rots, they rot. Mm-hmm. You know, they melt. They kind of melt out. And with the weevil, it kills them, and they seem to be very dry. So maybe the trunks, let's hope the trunks stay intact, because the one behind my parents' house is dead. Well, there were three of them. The parent, which was the one that my parents planted 60-plus years ago, got the beetle and was gone in 6 months. Mm-hmm. The tree looked fine in the fall of last year, and it was dead around December. And then the other two smaller ones beyond it, both were dead. And so the two that were on my parents' property are gone, but the one on the neighbor's property is still there. But it's totally dead, but it does seem intact. And the fronds have come off, so there's less of a sail effect to pull it over.
Yeah. I've noticed just driving down Lytton Street and Barnett, there's a lot of dead date palms in MCRD on the grounds of MCRD.
I wonder about the San Diego River.
Oh, there's tons of them.
Are they dead in there too?
Oh yeah. And there's a few over in along the edge of Presidio Park that are dead too.
If you do have a palm like that in your yard and it is an integral part of your landscape and you do not want it gone, the best thing you can do is treat it preventively with the soil systemic, the Bonide or the Bayer soil systemic. And it says once a year, and you mix that with water and pour it around the base, and it'll absorb up and should protect the palm trees from the inside out. And I think that's the only thing you can do.
Yeah, because typically the trees are way too big to try to spray anything into, at least anything that a homeowner would have. The soil drench, though, is relatively easy to use. And I think the first signs of it getting of infestation, or not necessarily infestation, but of it becoming a problem, as the lower foliage starts to droop. The upper foliage, towards the crown, stays upright, but the lower foliage starts to droop, and then it just
because it's beginning in there.
Yeah.
And so if you get to it in a timely manner, you may be able to prevent it.
From what I have read, if you catch it quickly, you can get it under control. But if you let it go, it's almost certain to be fatal.
Fortunately for my parents, their palms were on the backside of the house where, I mean, they stood up over the house, but when they're gone, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have them in the centers of their driveways, things like that. Mary in Rancho had them in front of her house, and they did not appear to have fusarium nor the beetle, but they had weak points in the trunk, way up in the neck, and they were starting to lean, and it would just be a matter of time before they snapped and came down.
Yeah, there's a big one around the corner from us on Spruce Run that I've been keeping my eye on, because it kind of looks like the lower fronds are starting to droop a little bit, and I don't know if it's just because they're old fronds and they haven't pruned it recently.
You should go knock on their door and tell them if they want to keep it.
If they got another problem, we'll have to keep an eye on it. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross. Mark Mahady and George Allman have the weekend off. Hopefully they'll be back
just
next
week.
Real quickly,
go ahead. George sent me a picture of him on the beach in Kauai. I don't know why he keeps sending pictures of him on the beach in Kauai, but he does. But he was climbing a big rock.
Rock, yeah.
And he sent that picture to his son, who has a picture of himself, his son, on that rock
on the
years
same rock,
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty
Yeah, I thought that was I thought
cool.
that was pretty cool. Pretty neat. We talked about what we were going to talk
it's
about.
It's hot.
It is hot. Yeah. Make sure you.
No, I wasn't going to go water. Let's go with the plants first that love it.
Okay. You start.
The coneflowers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And Monrovia has a bunch of different coneflowers. And back in our day, when we were young.
It was just the lavender ones.
That's right.
And
we need some going back in time music when we say when we were young, that'll go. Yes. Okay. That's close enough. But
Echinacea,
coneflower, the butterflies and bees and things love them.
They
do. But the colors now, bright orange, bright kind of salmon, bright yellow, gold. I mean, it's
all
a really neat plant, and it's super durable. It's a perennial. When it gets done blooming, you chop it down to the ground and then just wait for it to come back up again next year.
Mm-hmm.
We got in a bunch of Tacomas.
That's another one that has just taken off in the past 5 years, I would say.
It's a really good, low-water, drought-tolerant, heat-loving plant. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different colors now. It used to
and
be
sizes,
just the yellow.
Too.
Yes,
yeah.
And there's dwarfs and standards and yellow, orange, kind of burnt orange, red, the honey mustard. There's a whole bunch of different colors. And they thrive this time of the year. The hotter it gets, the better they look. But the one we have at the nursery, those two out front, the yellow one and the orange one over the fountain out there, are outstanding.
Yeah, no, they're really neat. And it used to be the only one you could get was just
big
regular
yellow.
Tacoma stands,
yes.
Just a big yellow
tall
tree.
Yellow that had the big seed pods
yeah.
hanging down. And the buddleias, you know, the butterfly bush. There's dwarf ones of those now too. They used to get so big that they were unwieldy in most garden situations. So there's short ones in the butterflies are just flocking to them. Do butterflies
yeah.
flock? What do they do?
I don't know. They kind of flit.
Okay, they're flitting to them.
Yeah, it really is an outstanding plant,
and
wide range of colors.
And the plumerias are going nutsoid too.
I'm looking something up here real quick.
Then I'll keep talking
you
about
keep, you
buddleias.
Talk amongst yourselves.
We did break into small groups and discuss.
Yeah.
We did get in Poway a big order of plumerias, and a lot of them are there are a lot of them in bloom right now in a whole bunch of different colors, but I really think that the Tacoma is an underutilized plant in the landscape. The small ones for containers on patios, and the larger ones can be used as screens or just bird attractants anywhere in the yard.
You know, I'm pretty sure this is it, but in the Bahamas, the national flower of the Bahamas is the yellow elder, and I'm almost positive that's Tacoma stands.
Oh, is it? Or is it, what's the yellow flower, the tropical yellow flower, Alamanda?
No, that's not Alamanda.
Okay.
Alamanda's a vine. This is a tree. I've seen them down there. They're all over the
He's had it with your talking like that.
They are all over the place down
That's
there.
What we were waiting for?
That's what I was looking up.
That's a great story. I appreciate
but,
that.
But, you know, what's funny is it says it's yellow. The national flower of the Bahamas is yellow elder. But it doesn't tell you what the botanical name is. So
that's the.
So anyway, I think it's Tacoma stands. It
okay.
looks like Tacoma stands.
Thank
and
you.
The tree looks like Tacoma stands. When
Let's
you're,
go with Tacoma stands.
When you're in the Bahamas, that's what it looks like. So
are we allowed to call them yellow elders?
Or
is it like elderberry?
No, that's more of a.
No, I know.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
On a totally separate note, Monday, I was with my dad at Costco, and the sign on the wall for the gas station, which I would not wait in line on in the middle of the day, was $4.99 a gallon.
Oh, it's going down.
It's gone way down. But I was very bitter that I was happy
that it was $4.99
a gallon. It was only $5 a gallon. Yes. Yeah. In Poway, it's $5.09. We're getting ripped off in Poway.
Well, I'm still seeing gas at over $6 a gallon in some places. It's crazy. Some of the other stuff that we had out in Standard Citrus is starting to come back.
Yes.
Slowly. I don't think our selection is real deep, but we have a fairly good supply of Standard Citrus in stock right now.
You know, and there was, who was it? Jacques was in yesterday, and he was looking for a peach tree. And we have a really good selection of peaches and nectarines that we got from Northern California. And some of the varieties are University of Texas. So they came out of Texas where they have super low chill requirements. And there's a whole host of them, which is like where our Tropic White is part of that program. And there's a whole lot. I don't think we have any more of the Tropic White, but we have a great selection of fruit trees. And if you came up short this year in your planting of your orchard, we do have a good selection now. And it might not be a bad time to expand, because the selection has kind of come back.
We do have a pretty good selection of them. You know, Melanie picked up some, she picked up some peaches at the store the other day. And I love peaches, but I don't like the skin on them. I don't like the fuzzy skin. That's why I usually like nectarines over peaches.
Okay, which is a fuzzless peach.
Fuzzless peach. But she picked up some peaches the other day that, I mean, there's barely any fuzz on them at all, and they were unbelievably good. I mean, incredibly good peaches.
I'm proud of you expanding your horizons. Do you know what? I go back to Costco. Those jars of the peaches and light syrup. You get a 4-pack of peaches. They are delish.
Oh, when I was a kid, my mom used to buy canned peaches, and in the evenings, my dad would just open up a can of peaches and just sit there and eat an entire can of peaches in light syrup.
I can do that, and then I save the syrup for later. It's so stupid. I hang on to it. Oh, that's what I need. I need some light syrup. It'd be delicious right now.
Probably makes a good mixer.
This was just straight out of the jar.
A good selection of plumerias in right now. Plumerias, now is an excellent time to get them. If you live in an area like I do where the soil is really heavy and clay, not a good idea to put them in the ground, but they grow really, really well in pots. They're not going to turn into the big trees that they would if they could grow in the ground, but you can easily grow them in containers. I've got a pretty good sized one on my pool deck right now that's in full bloom. It looks really nice.
And I know a lot of people put them in the ground, and I caution them against it, but frequently people can get away with planting them in the ground if it drains well. But if we have a cool, wet winter, they're going to rot.
It's not going to do well. Yeah. There's a over on the south side of Scripture Ranch, where Blake's best friend his parents used to live. There was a house that had a bunch of them planted in the yard. And they look beautiful, and they must have I'm guessing that area was probably filled, before they developed it.
So it would drain.
So because the soil drains, there's sections in my neighborhood where people have avocados and michellias and all kinds of stuff growing, but I think they're all fill lots because my lot's a cut lot, and I've killed all of those things trying to grow them in the ground. So, classes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We do have classes today. If you want to come in at San Diego, 9:00, it's going to be Growing Mushrooms with Richard. Very, very popular thing going on these days. In Poway at 9:30, it's going to be Companion Planting and Book Signing with Brian Lowell. Next week in San Diego, Drought Tolerant Landscapes with Olivia at 9:00. And in Poway, it's going to be Cactus and Succulent Care and Culture with Dean. That's at 9:30.
That would be Dean Poway. From Gnosis Nursery with
Dean
a G. Gnosis.
Yeah.
I know the G is silent, but it's just easier for people to see it.
To see it.
If I say it.
There you go.
Is that acceptable?
Yeah. And don't forget the Turtle and Tortoise Society today and tomorrow in Balboa Park, and the Orchid Show next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Balboa Park. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross. We'll be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.